Jesus. And I shared this with you, but I want to share it again because Pastor Kathy was doing a TV interview and they asked Mike Singletary, linebacker for the Chicago Bears, is it easy or is it hard to live for Jesus in the NFL? And he said easy. I thought he would have said hard. He said, when you're radical, it's easy. So let me just tell you, the more radical you are, the easier it is to live for the Lord. And so last week we talked about the radical presence of God, that you've got to have the presence. Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Sorry about that. You've got to have the presence of God in your life in a radical way, in a way that you notice it every single day, all day long, you know, throughout the day. You want to be able to have that radical presence of God. And so we talked about this. Tonight, I want to look at another characteristic of living a radical life, and it's radical mercy. And we need to experience radical mercy, and we probably need to give it. So, you know, actually, if you think about it, mercy in and of itself is radical. So it's kind of a redundant term to say radical mercy. But, you know, it's genuine mercy is a radical thing that only God can really do in our lives. And so radical mercy has the power to put a marriage back together that everybody else said, hey, look, there's no hope there. And we've seen that done. Radical mercy can put friendships back together after years of not speaking to each other or conflict. Radical mercy in our lives has the power to give you and me 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 15, 25, 30 chances. It's radical mercy. And so let me ask you, how many of you would say you need radical mercy in your life? Now let me ask another question. How many of you would like to express radical mercy towards other people? See, the hands go up a little slower on that. We all want mercy, but we don't necessarily want to give it. Well, Jesus talks about both. And so we're going to look at both. We're going to, you know, we want mercy, but it's more difficult to give. I mean, chances are, those of you didn't raise your hand, somebody popped in your mind that you, like, would run over if they were walking down the street when you was driving or something, or think about it. I mean, let me ask you, I don't think I'm the only one. Anybody ever think bad thoughts about people that you're mad at? I mean, you wouldn't do it, but you think about, oh, yeah. If I saw him walking down 4th Street. You know, whatever. I mean, you know, but we need to be able to give radical mercy. I mean, we live in a culture that you got two things. You got the tolerant bunch where people just don't care what anybody else does, just don't mess with me. And then we got the people who are judgmental and they're judging everybody. Now, the tolerance doesn't change a thing. Nothing good happens with people being tolerant, but nothing good happens with people being judgmental. The only way stuff changes is when we learn to express mercy. The only thing that'll change anything is mercy. And we've got to learn how to do that. God shares his mercy with us, but he wants us to share it with others. Look at Matthew 5:7. It says, God blesses those who are merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. He wants to give us mercy. He wants to give us. So what's mercy? Well, you know, mercy, write this down, is giving someone what they need instead of what they deserve. Mercy is giving somebody what they need, which is forgiveness, which is mercy, you know, but not what they deserve. Because if you think about it, we all deserve eternal separation from God in hell because of our sin. But God gives us mercy because we need mercy, not, you know, because we deserve it. You know, I might deserve punishment. I might deserve rejection. But you might give me love. Well, that's mercy. You know, I might deserve to be rejected in a friendship. You know, but mercy overcomes that. You know, all of us want mercy. We pray for it. You know, let me tell you, if you don't believe me, let's do a little experiment here. How many of you have ever gone over the Huey P. Long Bridge? How many of you, when you went over the top and you was going a little too fast, saw that car down there at the bottom? And you're going, oh, Jesus, please don't let him catch me. Anybody besides me? I mean, come on, some of y'all need to come clean. And so that's you wanting what? Mercy. We all pray for mercy, right? And so, you know, so here's the good news. Is they already put the slide up. God wants to give you mercy. God wants to give you mercy. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He wants to give you what you need, which is mercy. And so that's what he does. And he also wants you and I to share that with other people. And so all of us need to work on this. I know I need to work on this. And so here's a couple of things that we can do. Number one, if I want to practice mercy, I have to know mercy. I want you to think about that a minute. You can't give somebody what you don't have. You can't give somebody what you haven't experienced. And so the good news is if you can experience mercy right now tonight, the mercy of God, you can experience that. But I can't give it to someone unless I've experienced it. And Peter said this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again. You see, we get our salvation because of God's mercy. Because what we deserved was to be smashed, to be eternally damned into hell. But he said, we're born again by his great mercy. See, the power behind God's gift, if you look at this, is the resurrection power of God. It says, because God, he said, we get it because we're born again because of his mercy. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. The power of the resurrection is what brings us the mercy of God. David said it this way. He said, he has not punished us, look at that, as we deserve. In Psalms 103, he has not punished us as we deserve for all of our sins, for his mercy toward those who fear and honor him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Nobody knows how high that is. Nobody knows, you know, anything about that. And so look on your sheets. It should be on your sheets. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. He's removed us. And I'll tell you, here's the thing. The east and the west, if you start going west, you just keep on going around. You never get to the east. You just keep on going around. And so that's what he said. He's separated your sins. He's removed them. His mercy is not even measurable. And that's the kind of mercy God wants to give you and I. And he wants us to mercifully forgive and mercifully restore other people. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He wants to give you what you need, which is mercy, and he wants us to do the same. So how do we get this mercy? How do we get this mercy? Jesus told a story one day. And he was telling a story. There was a man in church, and the man sitting over here, and he's going, oh, God, I thank you that I live a good life and that I'm not one of these terrible sinners and that you've blessed me and da-da-da-da-da. And then there was a guy in there, and he said this. He said the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed, and instead he beat his chest in sorrow. And he said, oh, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. That's how we get mercy. We come to God, and we just say, God, I need mercy, for I'm a sinner. I mean, which prayer do you think God heard? The second one. Absolutely. He heard the second one. So how do we accept that? We just come and say, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Lamentations, Jeremiah said this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. They are new every morning. Lamentations 3. They're new every morning. Let me give you a test. If God's mercies are new every morning, how often do I need mercy? Every morning. Every morning. His mercies never stop. They're new every morning. Lord, your loyalty is great. And so that's what we need. The second thing, first is we'll know mercy. The second thing is we'll be able to show mercy. We'll be able to show mercy. Once I know it, I can show it. Jesus said this, show mercy just as your Father in heaven shows mercy. Now, that's not just a little bit of mercy. That's some serious mercy. I've got to show you mercy just like God showed me mercy. That's what he's saying right there. That's big time, y'all. And so he said, show mercy just as your Father shows mercy. And so when you experience God's mercy towards you, you'll begin to show it to others. Let me tell you something. if you think you can have His mercy and really experience it and not show it to other people, you're fooling yourself. He says, you show mercy just as your Father has shown it. I mean, let me tell you, it's going to fill you up. It's going to overflow. Look at this. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this, for God will not show mercy when He judges the person who has not been merciful. Let that soak in just a minute. You want mercy from God, but you don't show mercy to people? What does James say? God's not going to show mercy to the person that doesn't show mercy to others. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me tell you, if we're going to err, we need to err on the side of mercy. We need to err on the side of mercy. And so, you've got to be merciful to other people. God wants us to be merciful to other people. And because God's mercy is so big and it's so powerful, once you take it in, you can't help but give it to other people. I really believe that when you've experienced some of the worst people, the people who have done some of the worst things, when they realize the forgiveness and mercy of God, it just flows out of them. It's like if you filled up a gallon bucket, but I had 5 gallons of water and I just poured that 1 gallon bucket, and it's going to fill that bucket up and just overflow. It's got no choice. That's what happens when the mercies of God come in. They've got to go out. They've got to go out because there's no choice but for that to happen. And so when you put God's mercy in your heart, if it's genuinely there, it's going to flow out to other people. Paul said in Colossians, he said this, since you have been chosen by God who has given you this new kind of life, and because of His deep love and concern for you, you should practice what? Tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. And why would He say that? Because He wants us to practice tender-hearted mercy, and they're not always going to respond the way we think. It's not a Hallmark movie. Sometimes you show mercy to somebody and they just step on it. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. So how do we show it? Even when that happens. Jesus talked about that. Look here. Matthew 5. He said, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. Now, our folks, when you read this, I want you to understand, the United States of America, our government, our laws are based on this. And are based on the laws in the Bible. And so when you read this, you've heard the law say the punishment must match the injury. Our law kind of does that in a lot. And so we used to have this thing called restitution, that if you stole something, you had to work and repay those people. Then we decided somewhere along the way that's inhuman treatment or something, you know, whatever. I don't know. But I know when I messed up, my daddy made me pay them back and stuff like that. And so guess what you learn? You learn. But the law said the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, but I say, don't resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands you carry his gear 4 miles, carry it 2 miles. Give it to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. Jesus has given us 5 radical steps that we can take to show mercy to other people. In verse 45, if you look at this last verse, he said, for He gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. Look, you know, good things are going to happen. If you ever looked and said, why do good things happen to bad people? The sun's going to shine on them and the rain's going to rain on them. And so we've got to understand that the most evil person in the world gets the same warmth from the sun that you and I do. The same chance at mercy that we have. And that's a radical idea. It's not fair, but it's not fair for me to get mercy either. And so we've got to understand this. So let's let the sun shine on the face of those we'd rather strike with lightning. And we're going to learn how to do that. I mean, you know, if it was up to me, I mean, there's some people, it'd be like, I just hit that little button and have that lightning bolt come down. Maybe a little one on some people. Big one on others. You know what I mean? Go figure, you know. Maybe pole counters. you know. Or people that can't count. Somebody said in Louisiana we're last in everything, but at least we can count, you know. And so that we're not talking about recounts down here and stuff like that. But I mean, that, you know, it's just the way it would do it. But let the sun shine. Let me tell you, mercy brings people to repentance. I don't know if you've ever heard of a lady named Carol Everett, I think is her name. She was an abortionist. And she started meeting with a pastor who didn't just jump on her about being an abortionist. He just didn't jump on her and start putting her down. He listened to what her problem was, and he prayed with her about her problem. And she eventually came to faith in Christ and closed her abortion clinics down and now testifies against abortion and for life and all those things. Why not? If he'd have condemned her, if he'd have judged her, it never would have happened, but he showed her mercy. Showed her mercy. That's how God works, and it's radical. Jesus isn't just talking about God's mercy to us, but he's talking about how we can show that mercy to other people. And so that's what we want to do. So we don't want to, and I want to challenge us, don't just take small steps. It's easy to do a little good deed and feel good about it. We need to do some mercy steps that only God can help us do, you know. Forgive that person that took advantage of you, you know. That doesn't mean let them back in business with you or let them back in your house, you know, but you forgive that person, which means if you saw them on 4th Street, you wouldn't run over them, okay? And so, you know, you want to do that, and then you're on the way. So let's look at this. How did Jesus say to do this? He said, number one, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. He said, but I say don't resist the evil person. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek. A slap on the right cheek would be a backhanded slap, is an insult. So what he's saying there is that when somebody slaps you or insults you, you know, you've got to turn the other cheek. There's a story a guy was saying I heard one time about an LSU. He was an LSU student, and he was a Christian, and so he was in the maintenance department. He'd go hide out, and there was a guard that would go hide out too. This guy was a Muslim, and the guard one time said, "So you're a Christian, huh?" And they went, "Oh yeah." And he's talking, and he'd say, "So do you really believe it?" And he said, "Of course I do." He says, and all of a sudden he's hauled off and slapped this dude across the face. Glasses went flying off and everything. And he said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "Let me ask you, if you really believe it, you gonna let me hit you again?" And I mean, he said, "Okay." Dude hit him again, knocked him down and everything. But when he got up, the guy was crying. He said, "You're real. Nobody's ever done that." You know, and so turn the other cheek. Now, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to hear from God before you. If you come walk up and punch me, you might not get a second punch, all right? But you know, that's radical. I mean, you know, I couldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it in my own strength. But, you know, that was an insult. So what Jesus is really saying is when somebody insults you, you don't attack them back. He said, you turn that other cheek. You don't attack them back. We don't go around usually slapping each other. We do it with what? Twitter. Facebook. Y'all, and I'm preaching to me too. I mean, I read where Newell Norman really torched the mayor, you know, about what she was saying about the praise rally, the praise protest we had. And I tagged on there, if she really thinks that was disrespectful, somebody needs to give her a drug test. I mean, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. Because if a protest where our police are getting injured and we're setting stuff on fire is respectful, and that one wasn't, I don't know. But, you know, we do it with Twitter, with Facebook, you know. We talk about each other and all that. And that's how we do it today. And so when you get that next text and when you get that insult or whatever it is, somebody says something about you, just don't fire one back. Wouldn't it be, let me tell you, we wouldn't be having recounts if the president of the United States didn't have thumbs, okay? You know, it wouldn't have been close, but everybody hates those tweets, right? And so, you know, we've got to think before we push the send button. Let me tell you, I want to stop right here. Some of y'all already show mercy on steroids, all right? So you don't take this too far, right? What I'm saying is to show mercy doesn't mean you have to let somebody that's abusive to you back into relationship with you. And so you don't, it's not that you're inviting a tornado back into your house. You just don't let it get to you. Don't let them get to you. Sometimes loving somebody is making sure they get the help they need, not what they want. You know, it's being able to sit down with them and saying, listen, you've got a problem and we got to get you some help. That's mercy, you know. And then there's others that you get insulted and you just pretend it didn't happen. That's okay. I'm fine. And really, it's eating at you inside. Got to learn. We've got to deal with both of those. And so I would maybe ask you, is there somebody in your mind that you're punishing tonight? Somebody in your mind that, you know what I'm talking about. You get mad at somebody and you just think of different ways things could happen to them. You know what I mean? Not to kill them, maybe just to make them cry a little bit, you know, something like that. We all do that. And so we've got to learn to do to turn that other cheek, to turn that other cheek. Number two, Jesus takes it a step further. Let them have your coat. He said this, if you're sued in court and your shirt's taken, give them a coat too. In other words, hey, look, they're probably cold because they needed your shirt. So give them your jacket. Now, we're a litigious society. And, I mean, we're litigious on steroids in this country. But Jesus is telling this story, and basically what he's saying in this story is relationships are more important than stuff. Relationships are more important than stuff. I've seen so many people, families, will get along until somebody dies, and now they're fighting over the stuff. Now they're fighting over the stuff, you know, and they'll sue each other, and they'll get going and all that. And so, you know, we get caught up in that kind of stuff. And Jesus is saying relationship is more important than the stuff. Relationships are more important. You can spend all your time, and even your life, angry and bitter over a loss to somebody, or you can express mercy to somebody. I remember my dad. My dad had a cousin, some cousins of his, talk his aunt into taking him and his sister out of her will and putting them in her will. They were already rich. And my dad never held it against them. I mean, I was ready to run over them on 4th Street, okay? But my dad would weld stuff for them. He never let it get to him. He said it wasn't mine to start with. You know, and so you've got to show, you got to learn to express mercy. So what happens if you forgive them and they step on you? They just don't reciprocate. And that's probably going to happen in a lot of situations. You open the door for change. You did what you're supposed to do. And guess where the change is going to happen? In you, and it'll eventually happen with them. Number three is go the extra mile. That's what Jesus said. He said, if a soldier demands you carry his gear for a mile, carry it too. Now, I can imagine most people in Israel, they probably from my house, I know exactly where a mile is. I'd see them. They get that gear. They get to that mile thing and drop that bag and say, I don't have to carry it another mile. See, the law said that if a Roman soldier, you could be planting your garden, you could be washing your car, whatever, your donkey or whatever it was. And, I mean, you're out there, and if a Roman soldier came up and said, I need you to carry my gear for a mile, you had to carry it. Or he could stick you with his spear. I mean, you know, you had to carry it. And so you had to carry it. And so Jesus is saying, hey, don't just take it one, take it 2 miles. Now, why would he do that? You see, it wasn't just about his gear. It was because what was going to happen in the second mile. Can you see it? You're carrying, I mean, big old 100-pound backpack, carrying his stuff, and you get to a mile, and he's expecting you to drop that thing. You just keep on going. And he's going, dude, I mean, you know, mile was up back there. What's up with this? He said, you know, Jesus just told me to carry this. What do you mean? Who's Jesus? Well, he's a guy. He was Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one who died on the cross a while back to forgive us of our sins. And he says that we're to forgive and we're to go the extra mile. And so I just want to serve you by taking this an extra mile. And why are you doing this? Because God loves you. How many soldiers? We know from history a lot of soldiers came to faith in Christ. Why? What happened in that second mile? Nothing ever happens in the first mile. You do the bare minimum for somebody, that's not going to go that extra mile with them. Somebody offends you, they hurt you, you serve them, you go that extra mile. That's where stuff happens. That's where change happens. Gives you an opportunity to witness about what God's done in your life. And so think about maybe somebody you need to go the second mile with, somebody that I need to go the second. We need to go that extra mile with them. We've done the basics. Maybe we need to walk a little extra. Could be a a family member, could be a spouse, could be somebody at work, could be your boss, could be whoever. But somebody, we maybe need to go that second mile, because it's the second mile where life gets changed. It's the second mile. Number four, give to somebody who asks. He said, give back to those and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Jesus basically is saying, hey, look, if somebody comes to you for help and you've got the ability to help them, help them. That's what he's saying here. If you've got, don't loan it, give it. You help them. See, real mercy says that when somebody's in need and you've got the ability to help meet that need, you help meet that need. You know, that's what we're doing this Thanksgiving food drive. We didn't have the ability to give 1,000 people food until somebody that had the food gave it to us. Now we've got the ability to do that. And so, I mean, how can we not want to do that, to help people who are in need? Number five, he takes it a step further. He says, you've heard that the law says love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. Now, I mean, he's already making mercy, showing mercy a major thing, and he just keeps piling it on. He said, now, instead of going for revenge against the people who hurt you, instead of going for revenge against the people at work that have gotten into you or whatever, he's saying, you got to love your enemies. You love your enemies. Let me tell you, you know why he said that? Because he knew we'd think. He knew that we would think that we could get some type of revenge and spare our souls. If you think that, you're fooling yourself. He knew that we could refuse to help somebody and think it wouldn't harden our hearts. Let me tell you, when we don't help other people, it makes it a little bit harder. And I got to admit, you know, I mean, I've had times that, you know, I'm not as soft as Pastor Kathy. Pastor Kathy, she's always wanting to have something in the car to help somebody that comes up to the car. I'm like, dude, I know what you're about. Why? Because I've gone past it a few times, and you get harder. And so I have to ask God to help me with that. You know, we ran into a guy in the parking lot the other day. He's wanting money, and here's what I said. I mean, I don't keep cash. So why don't you, there's a church right down the street with flags in front. You go there on Wednesday night, we'll give you some food. We'll give you groceries. He didn't show. But, you know, we got to show mercy. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. Who's somebody that we need to show that love to? They might misunderstand it. They might mishandle it. They might reject it. But when we love our enemies, we do the right thing. Mercy is messy. I don't know if that's in your notes, but you ought to write it down. Mercy's messy. Look, it's messy. Sometimes you do the wrong thing. I'm not necessarily sure that when somebody walks up to your car, you need to give a drug addict $10. But we need to do something to help them. And so mercy's messy. You know, it began with a baby born in Bethlehem who ended up stretching his arms out on that cross right there. And it was messy the whole way through. People misunderstand him. There's no formula for this. It's just showing mercy. It comes with all the misunderstandings. It comes with people rejecting us, not understanding what our motives are, and confused because we've all got issues too, right? But mercy is something we need to show. It's messy, and it's the only thing that's going to change our culture is mercy. Me beating on somebody and being hard-nosed, and, you know, if you just think about how much politics, good politics, has happened in our country with both sides dug in. Fighting, both sides thinking they're right. Nobody showing mercy. Nobody working together. You know, and so it's messy, but we've got to do it. Mercy is also risky. You see, Pilate wanted to set Jesus free until it got risky. Until politically it wasn't advantageous, because when he saw the overwhelming Jewish present wanting to kill Jesus, he said, okay, I washed my hands, you can go kill him. I washed my hands. Let me tell you, so, you know, mercy can be risky. C.S. Lewis wrote this: Pilate was merciful until he became risky. Oftentimes we are too. I mean, it's kind of like politicians. They'll say one thing until the tides change, and then they'll switch their views. And they all do it. I'm not knocking any one candidate. They all do it that I've ever seen that are there very long. I want us at River Church, I want us to take the risk to show radical mercy to people. We're going to do that on the 21st, but we need to do it every day. You know, here's the thing. Radical mercy might not come out in the way you want it to come out. You might stumble as you're trying to offer it. You might have feelings that are saying, you ought not to be doing this. You know, but we need to be able to show mercy. And if we don't, nothing's going to change. And so here's like an example. I said it a minute ago. Radical mercy might be sitting down with a good friend of yours and said, I care about you too much to see you destroy your life and destroy your family. I see what this is doing. I've got issues too, and let's work on our issues together. That's what confess your sins to one another is. That's what James was talking about. And so it's being able to sit down with somebody you care about and saying, listen, we need to get this right. I wouldn't tolerate what you're doing in my life, and I'm not going to tolerate it in you. And so let's get help together. Let's get help together. So here's Jesus' mercy challenge to us tonight. If somebody asks you for help, and it's something we can do, what are we supposed to do? Show mercy by helping. And so when somebody wants to sue me or slap me because of their own brokenness, we show mercy instead of seeking revenge. We show mercy when somebody wants to put you down just to show that they're more important than you. What are we going to do? We're going to go the extra mile. Show mercy. Let me tell you, mercy can change everything. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat. There's ways to show mercy and not be a doormat. I see some of y'all's looks. So, you know, but here's the deal. As I show mercy, I will better experience God's mercy in my life. As I show mercy, I will better experience God's mercy in my life. You want to know God's mercy? It's not just about sitting here listening with your Bible. That's good, and we learn about God's mercy, but we really experience it when we get to know God's mercy by showing it to other people. When we show it to other people, you know mercy in order to show mercy. You know mercy in order to show it. You got to know it, and then you got to show it. And so I've got to have it in my life. And so maybe you're here tonight, and you've never experienced the mercy of God. You've never experienced God's mercy in your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And because Jesus said this, he said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Just go ahead and bow your, well, I know I got another blank to give you, so I know how y'all are about blanks. Write this down. If I'm going to experience mercy, if I'm going to express mercy, it has to begin with me. So I want to give you an opportunity to experience the mercy of God tonight. Some of you felt that while you're up here praying at the altar and stuff, so just bow your heads. Hebrews says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Why can we come boldly to the throne of our gracious God? Because of Christ. And he says we'll find grace and mercy at this altar. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you don't know Jesus that we're talking about, if you've never really felt and experienced that mercy that God offers you, let me tell you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I mean, you know you were wrong. I mean, I look back. I was telling the guys in our Bible study about when I derailed a train. I deserved probably go to juvenile detention, me and my two buddies. And I deserved for my daddy to have to pay that back, which would mean I would still be busting big rocks into little rocks today, probably. That's what I deserve, but God chose to show mercy to me through the railroad company that did not press charges and did not make us pay that money back. See, that's mercy. So, I look back even then, before I ever knew Christ, God was showing me mercy along the way. And probably if you think back, you can too. But when I invited Christ to come into my life was when I felt that mercy. So tonight, if you're here, if you're watching, you don't know Jesus, just pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I need your mercy because I'm a sinner. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power to live for you each and every day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. See, when we come to God for mercy, He'll give it. But now He wants us also to show mercy. So, Father, I pray for each person here tonight. That, Lord, as we leave out of here, we've experienced your mercy, God. And, Lord, help us to show mercy to people we come in contact with. Lord, help us to show mercy to that person that cuts us off in traffic. Show mercy to that person who sticks it to us at work. To show mercy to somebody who said something about us on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. Lord, to show mercy to people who have hurt us. Radical mercy of Christ. God, that's our prayer tonight. Let us leave out of here walking in your mercy, showing your mercy to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a minute, we're going to have you stand. As you leave, we want you to put your connection cards. The ushers will be there. But first, we're going to sing. Let's stand up and worship.
Come all you weary.